Let's pray before we jump into God's word. God, thank you for the privilege of gathering in the name of Jesus. God, send your Holy Spirit to open our hearts and eyes and just lift us, we pray, that we might represent you in this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Praise God. It's great to see you. Hey, I think you know this, but if you're relatively new to us, we're going through the entire Bible. We started a few months ago, and these journals that are right out there we'll track with, because we're not hitting every single chapter. We're hitting every story, every high point to give you the story of the Bible. And if you're wondering what's next, well, the journal tracks with the whole year, giving you exactly what is next. Not only that, every Sunday we have the truth of the week, and there's a place in your journal to write that down. So if you don't have these, I hope you will get one. Just $10, you can give that on the app and grab that on your way out. And for those of you writing down the truth of the week, there it is, the truth of the week. God chooses us for his purposes. Is there anybody here who has faith in Jesus Christ? Do you believe? Do you know that if you believe, that is the mark, that is the distinguishing mark. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, there's only one possible way that you know that he's alive. That's because God chose you. And he did not choose us, as we're going to find out in the story today. He doesn't choose us because we're so deserving. He chooses us for his purposes. So before I get to the rest of the message, I also wanted to, we started this last week. Believe it or not, in 28 years of being your pastor, I've never done this. We've raised money for a lot of things, missions projects, built a church in Rwanda, but for our body, I guess even this isn't just for us, but we're endeavoring to raise some money for a couple of things. Actually, there's more than these two, but these are the two that we're emphasizing. And the first one is, most everybody in here knows Pastor Michael. Michael came to us 8 years ago as an asylum seeker. Had really been kicked around a little bit, but God has just totally restored his life, and they are now leading a church. We've been working with them for some time. They actually have found a building now, and they're meeting Sunday afternoons at this point. The official launch of this church isn't till September, but if you know anything about launching a church, that takes money. In addition to that work that we are doing, we also have a goal of hiring a full-time children's director here at Life Church. That used to be Samantha's role. She now wears 27 hats here at Life Church and is not able to do that. So last week I spent more time going on, so I know that you're all highly motivated. You desperately want to see these visions come to pass. You're literally sitting on the edge of your seat right now with excitement. Is that not the state of affairs here right now? Yes. Okay. All right. So we can get down to it. Bottom line, to achieve these goals, it's going to take $2,000 per week more in giving to accomplish these in the way that we want to. So generally how that happens is not one person giving $2,000 a week. If you by chance have that, in fact, maybe you could just calculate for the whole year, that's like 100 and some, and drop it in today. You just raise your hand, let us know that. That's probably not how it's going to happen. How it's going to happen is hundreds of us who are already giving to do your part, to just do something. If you can add something to, and if you have never set up recurring giving, bottom line, this is in the end of the pocket right in front of you, and if you'll just scan that code, it'll take you to the giving site, and if you would be willing to set up some recurring giving to help us achieve that, that would be amazing. Praise God. All right, open your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 15. We're on to the story of Abraham we're still going to be in Genesis for some time. And Abraham, thus the truth of the week, is the first one that we see that we would call chosen. Now, the last two stories, the flood, God's dealing with the whole earth, the Tower of Babel, God is dealing with everybody. All of a sudden now, it zeroes in on one individual, because through this individual and through his family, God is going to bring the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, and that is the story of the Bible. The only true hero of the Bible is Jesus, and it points to him. So hold your place. You hold your place in Genesis 15. I hope we'll all turn there. I'm not going to put Genesis 15 up on the screens here, so I hope you'll find that on your phone or your Bible. And I want to read you quickly. I will put this up here. Genesis 12 says this: "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family. Go to the land I will show you.'" Now notice all of these I wills. This is God speaking. "I will make you into a great nation." Notice, he's not saying, "Abraham, you're going to knock it out of the park." God's saying, "I'm going to do it. I'll make you into a great nation. I will bless you, make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others." If we're going to be a blessing to others, it's because God has done things in our lives. It always works that way. Verse 3, "I will bless those who bless you, curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you." And Jesus Christ has come through the lineage of Abraham, and all of us are blessed, right? He did his job. All right, Genesis 15, you're there, hopefully. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you." Well, the reason that God's having to tell him he's going to protect him is this land that he sent him to is a much more lawless land than where Abram had come from. So he had reason to fear, as we're going to find out in a little bit. It wasn't the safest place. Raiding parties would not be an odd thing in this new land. "I will protect you, and your reward will be great." But Abram replied, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You've given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir." Then the Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir. You will have a son of your own who will be your heir." Then the Lord took Abram outside, said to him, "Look up at the sky and count the stars if you can." Have you ever tried that? When it's a truly clear night and you're seeing all the stars, you'll get confused as to which star you have counted. Just from this, I've tried it. I mean, it can't be done. Your brain can't calculate it. And obviously, he's giving him something to look at just to get a hold of his heart. "Look up to the stars, count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have." And verse 6 is the key. "And Abraham believed the Lord." Can we read verse 6 aloud together? "And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith." That is, if there's one bottom line and key to being chosen, is this gift of faith. You believe. It's because he's revealed himself. He's revealed himself to Abram, and Abram believes. We're going to see God counts him as righteous because of his faith, not because he does everything right. And that's a really important part of all these Bible stories, because otherwise we'll just make heroes of these guys and think, okay, well, if I was as good as Abraham, you know, then maybe God could do something with me. But I'm not so good. Turn your Bible to Genesis 20 now, and we're going to read a story of this amazing man of faith. Genesis 20 and verse 1, hopefully you're following along. "Abraham moved south to the Negev and lived for a while between Kadesh and Shur. Then he moved to Gerar. While there as a foreigner, Abraham introduced his wife Sarah by saying, 'She is my sister.' So King Abimelech of Gerar sent for Sarah and had her brought to him at his palace." That's called a harem. She's been brought in, and the reason Abraham asked her to say she was his sister is because apparently, from the story, today we have a phrase, Abraham had outkicked his coverage. Do you know what that means? His wife was better looking than he deserved. And in a somewhat lawless land, he knew that the tradition here was, when a beautiful woman came to town, the king brought her into his harem, and if she happened to be married, well, for the husband. So again, Abraham has a little bit of fear, and out of that fear, he reacts and does things that aren't so perfect. How would this work in your household, by the way? Between, you know, how would that affect your relationship, husband and wife, if if your husband just sent you off to a harem. Would that probably might have some effect on things at home, do you think? All right, so whether or not you can identify with that, how many men in the house can say, well, I can identify with this. I have definitely outkicked my coverage. My wife is too good for me. Raise your hand if that's you. All the guys that are not raising their hand, that is a big part of your problem right there. That was your chance. If there's ever a time to raise both hands and wave them, that was it, man. That was it. All right, good job, good job, good job. All right. Okay, so let's finish with the story. Now here's the real point that I want. There's a couple of points, but the main point I want you to see in the story is there's two characters now. There's this king, okay, who we're going to find out in a minute knows the Lord, but he's not the chosen one. And when you're chosen, God deals with you differently for his purposes. Not because you are so righteous. Can we say Abraham has been righteous in this scenario? No, he lied. In fact, the heading over Genesis 20, if you look at your Bible, it says Abraham deceives Abimelech. That's not a good heading to have over your chapter. That night, verse 3 now in the story, that night God came to Abimelech in a dream and told him, God gets right to the point, you're a dead man. For the woman that you have taken is already married. I just stop right here. Wait a minute. Well, why? The judgment is coming down on Abimelech, but, well, let's just continue reading. Verse 4, but Abimelech had not slept with her yet, so he said, Lord, will you destroy an innocent nation? Didn't Abraham tell me she's my sister? And she herself said, yes, he's my brother. I acted in complete innocence. My hands are clean. Now, this story is so perfectly set up. And by the way, if you're wondering, oh, you know, are his hands really clean? Well, read the next verse. In the dream, God responded, yes, I know you are innocent. So who's the innocent one in the story, Abraham or Abimelech? It's not a trick question. Abimelech is innocent. God just said it. I know you're innocent. Okay, so who's the innocent one, Abraham or Abimelech? Who's innocent? Abimelech. Abraham or Abimelech, who's chosen? Abraham, don't ever forget that. Because if you don't remember that, you're going to get confused a lot in life. And you're going to think, well, because if you have faith in Christ, you are chosen. There's no doubt. But don't ever forget, we are not chosen because we are so different. We are so much better. Boy, your head will get so confused if you think that way. Friends, just because you are chosen does not mean you cannot be double dog naughty. How many have been chosen and proven? How many in this room have proven that you can be stupid while chosen? Anybody? It is possible. Not only possible, it will happen. And we're going to share a little bit more of the backstory and the importance of this. But if you see it, by the way, this story is in our Bible. For only one reason. There's only one reason this is in here. It's really rather superfluous to the big picture of Abraham's life. It's in here for the same reason every other Bible character has a story like this thrown in, to make sure that we see that God chooses for his purposes. He's got a plan. And he doesn't quit. And he does not give up. And your sin does not stop the hand of God from, if he's chosen you, scripture says that his choosing is without repentance. In other words, I think the NLT says it cannot be withdrawn. Once he chooses you, he is not going to stop, and he is going to continue redeeming even your mess. In the dream, God responded, yes, I know you're innocent. Verse 6, that's why I kept you from sinning against me. And why I did not let you touch her. Stop right here. Okay. This is a man who's just spotted the most beautiful woman and brought her in. And we can, if we track with the story, we're not going to finish the story. But this went on at minimum for a month. We can prove that to you in the rest of the story. And he does not find a way to have his honeymoon night for a month. How did that happen? God says how it happens. I kept you. All throughout, peppered in here, you see just the absolute sovereignty of God. God's ability to control events and even hearts and minds of human beings is amazing. But here's where you back up. You say, wait a minute. If God can stop Abimelech from his desire, couldn't God just have easily have stopped Abraham from making this huge mistake? Do you think God is big enough and powerful enough to kind of work in Abraham's life to keep him from making the mistake? How about, here's the point. You're going to get in nothing but trouble trying to figure out all of God's ways. He does not interject himself in every detail the way we would like him to interject himself. He doesn't. He has the power absolutely, completely, and totally to do whatever he chooses. But why? Why he does the things the way he does it? Bottom line is he chooses us for his purposes. And I think we see in the Bible, God does not want to do things in such a way that he is undeniable. Now, to us as people of faith, we'd say, well, God is completely undeniable. Well, he's undeniable to you because he's revealed himself to you. But he does not want to do things in ways that if, let me just say that differently. If a human being wants to doubt him and you want to turn from him and you don't want to listen to him, he will do things in your life in such a way that you can deny him. You can. That is not his will to make it so that you just literally cannot. You have no options. To his chosen, he reveals himself. And again, that is so important to understand because God is choosing is not based on our goodness. And let me just give you a quick personal story of how that plays out. I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I told a story of the group Mission Maine, about 20 of the area pastors and probably all the churches that you would think of in the area are a part of this. And down through the years, I've been there with them for 28 years. So down through those 28 years, I've seen a lot of pastors come and go. And it really is a rich fellowship. They're really, when you stick together, you're close and revealing some of the struggles and also God's grace. But down through those years, another, I would say, challenging part of it is seeing how many pastors have come and gone. And in the great state of Maine, that is relatively common. I don't know if you know this. It's not the easiest thing. There are places on our planet where if you just put up a shingle saying you're the new church and you do things cool like we are. I mean, we're cool. Are we not cool? I mean, are we cool? We are super cool. But if you do things a certain way, that you can't help but grow a church. It's just the way it grows. Well, that isn't the way it happens in Maine. And so I've watched, and I've gotten to know some of these guys, and it has been. It's been painful. You don't quit. You don't do all that it takes, throwing yourself in heart, soul, body, and mind, throw all of your finances in and move to start a church and get it going, and then 1, 2, 3, 5 years later, just quit. And so many of them have even left the state. You don't quit with joy in your heart. You quit because that struggle has just gotten so profound that you're just ultimately convinced nothing's good. Nothing good is coming. This is not going to turn around. And the title of my message today is Hold On for the Hope. I'm sorry. I did that same thing in the first. Hold On for the Laughter. I'm sorry, not the hope. Hold On for the Laughter. Hold On for the Laughter. You will know when God is coming through because you can't help but laugh. You can't help but just laugh. On the way out of first service, a man stopped me and I'd been talking to him for the last year. He's in the military, and he's up here had to do some things here, going to school, actually. And he'd gotten married in the interim and was so stressed to the max about the strong possibility that he and his wife would not get stationed together in the same place, which he had been told many times by many people in the Army that was a distinct possibility. And he had pulled every string that you could pull, Has anybody ever been there in a state of stress where you're pulling strings that don't even exist? I mean, you are endeavoring to manipulate things that don't even exist. You're endeavoring to exert control over, and he was... just say the word stressed. Yeah, stressed. And bottom line, he just found out this past week that he and his wife are getting stationed in the same place. In fact, it's I don't think Brett stayed for the service, did he? Okay, no, he... and so next Sunday is going to be his last week with us. But just to hear him, the title of the message was Hold On for the Hope. He said, I'm laughing the whole way through the sermon, Pastor Brian, because I'm saying, yeah, hold on, because I'm there. I'm laughing. It's so good. It's so awesome. He's all excited, you know, and it is. It's all exciting when God comes through. How about that week, month, year? Here's what growth in faith looks like. I'm not suggesting that we can ever arrive at the place where when it is hard, it is. You're going to have some stress. When God tests a human being, he knows what he's doing. But the more you grow in faith, the more you don't pull what Abraham pulled. You quit manipulating. You quit finagling. Maybe if you see you're my sister. You quit doing that. And you don't have the full laughter, but all along the way, you have a little chuckle. We have to learn this. When things are tough, just to buckle down and just chuckle within yourself. Like, God, I have no idea how you're going to work this out. I have no idea what you're going to do with this. But you understand, a chuckle is different than laughter. But that's faith. Faith just knows that the living God is at work. And Abraham was ultimately, truly, a man of faith. And if you will turn your pages now to Genesis chapter 21, we're going to see the laughter part. And while you're flipping there, Genesis 21, you just hold your place there. Let me read you a couple of verses from the Old Testament concerning Abraham's descendants, the Israelites, and they would apply to Abraham. Deuteronomy 7, the Lord did not choose you because you were more numerous than other nations, for you were the smallest of nations. In other words, I didn't choose you because of your power. Rather, so here's his reason. Here's God's reason for loving you. I didn't choose you because you're powerful. Rather, it was simply that the Lord loves you. Do you realize what he just said? God is giving his justification for choosing them and loving them as opposed to others. Here's his justification. Here's the reason I love you. It's because I love you. You're like, that's not a reason, God. I'll let you argue with him when you get there. But that to God is good logic. I know our brains don't work that way. But he has a system that we're probably not going to comprehend. But we should rejoice in the fact that you are chosen. One more verse. Know then that it is not because of your righteousness your God is giving you the good land to possess, for you are a stubborn people. Wow. Did you hear that? I didn't choose you because you are so slick. Your faith is so perfect. No, he says, no, you're stubborn. Anybody in this room besides me ever been stubborn? God's kind of had to drag you along, right? You didn't figure it out till after it all worked out. You kicked and screamed and fussed and cussed until God worked it out, and you're like, oh, hallelujah. John 15, you hold your place in Genesis 21. I'm getting there. John 15, 16, Jesus said, you did not choose me. I chose you. Here's the kicker. I appointed you so you mightn't go and bear fruit. This is the important part. See, if you don't have that chuckle, if you don't realize, I've been chosen. And you've been chosen to bear fruit. You have not been chosen so you can look down on others and talk about your faith. You've been chosen to help other people. I look back, I told that story about Mission Maine and pastors that have left. There's only one, and I can remember several moments where I was sorely tempted to quit. And here's the thing. I wasn't tempted to quit just because of external problems. You know, oh, these people, the people. You know when you're really tempted to quit? When it is black and white to your brain that you are the problem. You just sent your wife to a harem, dude. This is you. Now that, on the heels of that, and then you have external problems going on while internally you know, dude, no, that was me. Has anybody in here ever goofed anything up? You screwed anything up? Anybody? What do you feel like on the back end of that? And then you do have external problems as well. And then, but here you can't just blame them or blame the, you know, if you're a knucklehead, you'll keep blaming everybody else. But sooner or later, you got to look in the mirror and say, I did that. Man, I got a lot of those stories. The only thing, the only reason that I'm still here is if you have real faith, you come back to a place of, I don't deserve it. I seem to be a bigger goof up than others. But God chose me. I don't know why. I could point out several other better choices to him. But and you need to feel that exact same way. And he's chosen you to bear fruit. He's chosen you to help other people. And we don't think that. In that moment, we don't think, well, if I stand, if I stick, if I just stay right here, other people will be blessed. That's not where your brain is at, especially when your failure is on the line. But here's what we hold out for. Genesis 21. You guys, anybody remember what we're holding on to? We're holding on for the laughter. Everybody say laughter. Ah, you're going to laugh. Like this guy that left after first, like Brett when he left, he was laughing. He's like, oh, God worked it out. The Lord kept his word and did for Sarah. Genesis 21:1. The Lord kept his word, did for Sarah exactly what he had promised. Surprise, surprise. She became pregnant. She gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened at just the time God said it would. How many knows God's never late? He's not late. Now, have we ever thought he's late? Have you ever coached him up a little bit? Hello. I'm right. Cheers. I don't know if you know this, God, but you're running a little late. Woo. We're beyond dry spell, Lord. come on now. Oh, yeah, we coach him up. But notice he said that the Lord kept his promise. Has God promised anything to you? Anything? Like, I hope you're not reaching for a vision or some word that you heard. The word of God. How about this? That God works everything. Everybody say everything. God works everything together for good. How about that? There's a promise to hang on to. God is working everything, even your goof-ups, together for good. That's the God that you serve. He is a redeemer. And he's a redeemer beyond what our brains can comprehend. He's a redeemer. That's how he rolls. That's his job. At the end of it, there's a reason we take our crowns. The scripture says we're given crowns for obeying him. We take those crowns and we put them at his feet. Why? Because at that moment we realize, oh, all those good things I did, that was, you drug me along. I tried to quit. You wouldn't let me. All right, this happened at just the time God said it would. And Abraham named their son Isaac. 8 days after Isaac was born, Abraham circumcised him as God had commanded. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. And Sarah declared, God has brought me laughter. Would you read that out loud with me? God has brought me laughter. One more time. God has brought me laughter. I don't know if you're there yet. I don't know if you're at that spot where the redemption has all been made clear. You've got your orders for San Antonio to be with you. I don't know if you're there yet. I don't know if you're at the laughter yet, but are you at least at the chuckle spot yet? Do you understand the difference? The chuckle spot is where it's still tough and you're like, I know you're working this out. You could hurry up, you know. Oh, it makes a difference. Oh, it makes a difference. You make a lot less mistakes when you're chuckling, when you know he's coming through. God has brought me laughter. God has worked all things together for good. God has brought me laughter, and all who hear about this will laugh with me. Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse a baby, yet I have given Abraham a son in his old age? God is so good. He's such a redeemer. One more quick application. I know I've told this story one too many times, but it applies in so many situations. and pretty much every married couple has trouble at some point, that for that reason, Raquel and I have never hid the fact that years ago we had a really hard spot, really tough. And again, the same story. Where it got the hardest, let me just speak personally for myself, where it got the hardest, where I'm most tempted to quit, is not when she has done something, it's when I have failed. On the back end of my failure, now I'm like, I got all this hard work to do to love and give and serve and forgive and, you know, all this hard work to lead. And I am a failure. I just lost my temper. Could you, this is shocking, I know. Could you believe that your pastor has lost his temper before? Could you believe that? You were not supposed to go so quick to the yes on that. Oh yeah, oh yeah. I've seen it. Yeah, but that's when it's toughest. It's because you realize the work that's in front of you. It's not when we say hold on for the laughter, hold on doesn't just mean, you know, sit on your couch and watch TV. There's some work to do. Hold on means I'm going to keep pressing on. I'm going to love and give and serve. And once again, there's only one reason why I personally stuck with it is when I collapsed in my own pit, my own, oh, I don't have, I'm a failure. I can't do it. Has anybody else done this before? I can't. That revelation that you're chosen. Brian, you chose. I chose you. And I chose her for your wife. Better figure it out. But that is so overwhelming in that moment to realize I can't add it up. I can't figure it out. I just know that he's chosen, and what he's chosen, he will bring to pass. He will bring it to pass. He will bring it to laughter. And the love and the joy that we share today would have never happened. Would never happen. It is possible to quit. It is possible to bail on these things that God has called us to. But if we'll just trust him and keep that chuckle going, just knowing, God, you're working it. Would you close your eyes with me? And before I do any praying, I'm just pleading with you to search your soul for right now. Is there an area where you maybe have given up hope? Maybe there's an area where there's just no chuckle. There's nothing, but that thing is dead and buried. God, I believe this was something. This was some of that fruit that you wanted me to bear. I believe this was a way you wanted to use me in the world, but it's just gone. And here's the business to do with God. First of all, just repent for giving up. Repent for just not believing that he could restore. He can. No, you can't fix it. God of heaven, you can. I'm praying you're looking in your own. If there's any area of hopelessness, you'll just look to your Father right now and say, God, I can't, but you can. You can. You can redeem. You can work all things together for good. Even the part that's my fault. And God, I trust you. I worship you. You are bigger than me. Your grace is bigger than my failure. And I trust you. Father, we do. And we know ultimately through Abraham came Jesus Christ, who was punished for our sin. All that we feel like we deserve, all the negative, you poured it out on Jesus. And we are redeemed. Jesus, thank you. There is good up ahead because of your amazing grace, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody says,